Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? That's Chuck. Chuck D. That's the remix of Welcome to the Terror Dome. But you need to check out Chuck's, the whole remix of Welcome to the Terror Dome 2020 with Nas and all the other guests. I'm Citizen Payne. You've reached K's son and friends, formerly K Thompson Live. What's happening, Citizen Payne, with my boy, the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. I'm going to turn the music down. I like my music loud like a lot of you do. The legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman, my brother Byron Saunders, the historian in the cesspool down there, as he likes to put it. You know, today's Thursday, right? And it's Thursday afternoon. Might be a different time than when you're used to hearing about us, but stuff is going on, y'all. Stuff is going on. We got to pay attention, not every day, not every week, every minute, because when you have someone, the most dangerous person, I forget how the man's niece described him, how the most dangerous president or whatever. I just call people bastard, but I don't know. I don't know what it is you guys might call him. That's when I get frustrated. But what we're talking about is the fact that we got to watch this guy every single day. And we have cases spiking all over the country. We got the governor of Georgia who doesn't want the mayors to mandate masks. We got the one in Florida who was talking trash about New York about a month ago, talking about, oh, were they mandated and they didn't do it and we were going to have a spike and look at us now. And now look at them. If you watched the press conference the other day with DeSantis, where somebody was heckling him, one of his people was going off on him because they got a spike. Texas, they didn't want a mandate. You had the lieutenant governor down there talking about some people should just be ready to die or the coronavirus. And then he talked about how Fauci was wrong about everything, just like the idiot in the White House who's working, not talking about Trump, his boy Peter Navarro, talking about Fauci being wrong on everything. I'm getting sidetracked, but I'm just, you know, these are just a list. If you watch the news like I do, like I'm sure you guys are paying attention, it's overload that this guy is the worst thing to hit the country. That clearly the American carnage started on January 20th, what is it, 2017, whenever the election was. That's when it started. These guys are the virus. I believe Trump and the Republican Party and the racist Republican Party, they are the virus. The man said, Confederate flag is freedom of speech. The man said, white people get shot by the cops more than black people. So I think that you're pretty much making it plain. He's made it plain before. And if you listen to other episodes of this show way back, even when my mom was still living, you heard me say that I didn't think he was a racist. Donald Trump was a racist, you know, because sometimes it's hard for me to believe that people who have harbor racist sentiment or racist feelings inside and they still hang around some black people and will be cordial to you and friendly. And those are the polite racists. Hey, if you're going to be polite about it, that was the Republican Party back in the day, actually. Y'all thinking that they ain't really, that this is kind of an aberration now where they're going now. But it's kind of, you know, their thing. They were just the polite. Ronald Reagan and them were the polite racists. You know, that's when you're polite. You know, a couple of black people, you're cordial to them. You're not really friendly with them, but you know, black people exist, so they're polite. But when you look in their record and you look at their actions, you look at the things they choose to do and the things they choose to support, you can draw no other conclusion than the fact they are, in fact, racist. Or at very least, growing up in white supremacist society. I'm all over the place because there's a lot of shit going down, and we got to keep an eye on with this guy. and now it's to the point where it's life and death, and even worse, they are asking people to sacrifice their children. Orange County, California, said they're going to make the kids go back to school, no masks, no social distancing. Really? That's really easy to say and really easy to do when usually the majority of people in the public school system, they're kind of in a social economic strata, right? Level, bracket. The people who can't afford to get better sometimes, are they? And, you know, if you're middle class, if you work a middle class, then, yeah, you should be able to depend on the public school system. You should be able to depend on the programs that the government, the society that the government is supposed to support. See, that's what government does. When you hear these Republicans talk about government is too big, no. There's certain things that government should do. Let me bring Wayne Gilman in here. We're going to wait for Byron. Byron just hit up. Let me bring Wayne in here because I know he's got some perspective as the newsman and covering a lot of these things for all these years, particularly in New York City. The legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how you doing?
All right, gentlemen. You know, I'm hanging in here, and I'm sitting here listening to just about every talking point you've raised, and I just would like to think that 111 days from now, this is going to be a seismic shift in the political landscape of this country if people come out and vote. You know, there's so many reasons as to why this man should not be holding office. You know, I mean, you made a reference to him as being a virus. You know, Trump is even worse than that. I mean, he has been this country's nightmare, his downfall. We called it before he was elected. You know, you said that you used to refer to him as a polite racist. That doesn't even fit within, you know, the confines of what his background has been about. This man has been treacherous from the time his mother gave birth to him. It just goes to show the influence of what his parents, mostly his father, has done to him. And it's just unfortunate that at the age of 73, 74, that he has not learned anything all that time because he had been so privileged all this time that it didn't matter what anyone else said. It doesn't matter if people are dying in the streets. It doesn't even matter to him that he's going to go down historically as the worst president this country has ever had. But yet he still garners support in certain pockets of this country that just simply amazes me. And as you've mentioned, you know, all the myriad of reasons why he should not be reelected, I just want to throw one more thing out there. I've been talking about this for months now, and that is Fox Television and the irreverent, reckless way that they go about promoting an agenda where there's no give and take. And I'm hoping I'm reading well. I don't wish anybody's demise, unemployment. I'm not that kind of bitter person. But if somebody who is worthy of being on permanent vacation is Tucker Carlson, that bow-tie-wearing mother expletive should be off the chart. The same way Don Imus lost his job when he came out with that racist rant about the Rutgers women's basketball team and the people he had behind him supporting a racist agenda, finally, things are coming out about this jerk, and he's still given a platform to talk about. They got rid of O'Reilly, and I know there are other areas now, the fields are littered with all sorts of conservative programming out here that he could probably wind up finding a job somewhere else. But, you know, you talk about taking a stance and changing corporately. If I were a black broadcaster with the means and the reach of what a Fox TV has, I would not be in the game. The FCC would have shut us down. And the thing is, the misinformation that comes out of that outlet, it's really troublesome how they twist things, and yet it's okay for these people to be doing what they do. But aside from all that, you know, as I had mentioned last week, Donald Trump is like a deciduous plant, and everything is peeling off him now. He is raw. He's exposed. And if he could come back from all this, you know, I don't even want to challenge my faith in the Lord. You know, I mean, I'm one of these God-fearing Catholics. Perhaps I need to go to church more. But if he could make a comeback after all this, you know, maybe the man could walk on water.
No, right. Well, let's bring in Byron and see. I know he's chomping at the bit. He wants to get in here. Brother Byron Saunders, our resident legendary historian. Byron, go ahead,
yeah,
Byron. I know you're jumping in with 2 feet.
Well, you know I'm down here in the cesspool, and I will give you the report, but Wayne. believe me, you won't have to go to confession. Your sins have been absolved. You have to say is act of contrition and 3 Hail Marys and an Our Father. Done. Okay? Now.
Thank you. You know how us Catholics are, man. We suffer from a lot of guilt. Yeah.
I know. So let's get to the real story, which is basically the spiking coronavirus. You know, as of yesterday, which was the 15th, and today is the 16th, we are in the midst of a pandemic nightmare. It's not going away. The national numbers are really flying off the chart. We know for a fact that there are now over 3,483,905 infected American citizens. Now, let's let that set for a while because it was only 2 million something a couple weeks ago. So primarily, the spiking is over 60,000 plus daily. There's no control of this virus right now. It is out of control. There are over 138,358 dead. And as of the 1.3 unemployed that was reported for last week, we are now up over 50 million Americans that are unemployed. There are cracks in the GOP. Even their own senators are deciding now they're not going to the convention. So there's a lot that's going on that's, like you say, it's being peeled back piece by piece. And what they're revealing is exactly what we already knew. He's a fraud. He is a murderer. He is a traitor. He has committed treason. And my sister sent this to me, and I couldn't wait to tell you guys this. There are 6 lawsuits. 6 that have been confirmed and have been adjudicated, and the terms of the agreement for which he settled. 6 indictments, convict and resolved, that prove the reason why he's hiding his tax returns is because those convictions were for pedophilia. And it is now known that Putin has tapes of his indiscretions. This is from an attorney who wrote the book on several things. I'm going to send you this. Because when you read this, you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is worse than I thought. Because these are cases, names of the individuals, of young men and young women for which he has indulged his sexual proclivities to.
Byron,
what I really don't want you to hear. Yes.
Repeat that, because I was making some notes. You said
I know it's kind of hard to take.
I need you to run that by us again, so make sure everybody hears that and the validity and the sources.
6 cases. That's right. 6 cases from the Legal Schnauzer. And if you're looking for it, go to legalschnauzer.blogspot.com. 201901, and it's all about Donald Trump has paid over $30 million to settle these cases, which engage and have him on videotape and settled the cases of pedophilia. And
so this isn't even
the real reason why he doesn't want his tax returns released is because they have those to be announced on each one of those tax returns, the losses as a result of law cases that he has had to settle. And it's more than just a Russian thing. There is a criminal a pedophile in the White House with a hoe, his consort, first wife, his third wife, who is a paid hoe. Let's just call it what it is, because the street call of it is that she was, you know, working in the sex industry, modeling with other women in compromising poses. You've seen them. That's no lie. That's not Photoshop. That's the real deal.
Right.
And what we have got to understand, in order for this country to get back on its tracks, the right track, it has to have a truth and lie commission. Because at the point at which we're talking about statues being torn down, you know, we're talking about George Washington. Let me stop you for a second, if I can. Yeah.
I can stop you for a second. Y'all hearing them sirens outside? They're coming to get Byron because he said that. I'm just messing with you.
They're on their way. The knock is at the door.
Let me just jump in real quick. I don't mean to cut you off mid-sentence, but I've seen some of those pictures on the internet and the articles and things like that, that it was a European photographer for European Vogue or GQ that she took these nudes. Yes. Have not heard or see it confirmed about the other lady of the evening activities, for lack of a better term. But, you can't say that she's just because she's taking naked pictures doesn't mean she's doing whatever. But when we look at sometimes people build cases against people. They look at certain behaviors and what they have. And if you look at some of the pictures that everybody used to get kind of creeped out that Trump would take with his daughter, if it gave you a creepy feeling looking at those pictures, you know what people say about instinct and intuition.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. But go ahead, Byron.
Trust your instinct and your intuition, because I'm looking at this story, and I'm telling you, what I'm reading is fact-based, and I'm not giving you hyperbole, and I'm not giving you no conspiracy theory, one of which, I'll just read the first one, Wayne Mattson Reports, which is a subscription site and describes the settlements in a January 14th and 15th post titled, Why is Trump So Afraid of Cohen's Testimony? And it, as a result, Donald Trump has paid roughly $30 million to settle child sex complaints brought against him since 1989, according to a D.C.-based investigative journalist. Now, this is what the journalist has discovered. While Cohen will avoid certain subjects still under investigation by Department of Justice Special Counsel Robert Mueller, he may provide some insight into the types of embarrassing things he fixed for Trump before they ended up in scandalous court trials. This may include Cohen assisting Trump in paying off victims of Trump's sexual assaults over the years. And so it goes on to outline and tell you who they were, how old they were. One was 10 years old, a male, 10-year-old oral rape at Mar-a-Lago, Palm Beach, $3 million settlement. Another one, Kelly Fuhr, 12 years old, $1 million settlement, paid in 1989, allegations of forced intercourse, Trump Tower, New York, New York. Charles Bacon, 11 years old, $3 million, allegations of oral and anal intercourse, 1994, Trump Tower, New York, New York. Rebecca Conway, 13 years old, intercourse and oral sex, Trump Vineyard Estates, Charlottesville, Virginia, 2012, $5 million settlement. Maria Oliveira, 12-year-old. Her family was paid $16 million to settle allegations of forcible intercourse occurring in Mar-a-Lago, Palm Beach, Florida, 1993. And the sixth one, Kevin Knoll, 11 years old, and rape, Trump Tower, New York, New York, 1998, settlement details unknown.
You're reading this off of the website, which is which is by this person, this reporter, investigator, and these are legal documents that he's uncovered, and these are
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And these were settlements.
So basically, what he's been paying off is to keep people from finding out, because they have to be listed in his taxes. The other thing is this reporter is alleging is that Putin has tapes of some of these alleged incidents. And of course, we know in the document that engaged Mueller's report to begin with was the document that alleged, as you may recall, the golden spray with the Russian prostitutes in Moscow, for which Trump has been videotaped and has been, and that tape is out there. So it's not just a little, it's not just a conspiracy. These things are starting to pop up, coming back to haunt him, because the noose is tightening, and I'm going to go for the Lynch kind of concept. The noose is tightening around his ass, his neck, and his nuts, okay? He did it. He's been out there doing it, and now it's time for call up and call back. And so we're going to put his ass on the stand. And like I said earlier, folks, you may not want to admit this, but he is a criminal. He has been impeached. Now, he didn't get convicted in the Senate, but the House of Representatives found enough evidence to impeach him, and that is around his neck, no matter where he goes. And now he's got COVID-19 ahead of him. He's in Atlanta, Georgia today. I wrote a blog piece. I don't know if y'all saw this. I wrote a blog a week ago, indicating that while Mayor Bowser was sick, she should indicate by shutting down her city and committing that no presidential party or anything can come into that city as long as they have people infected in his administration. They need to shut him down, shut him out of our cities. And like I said, he's the dog with the tail, wagging with the soup cans. You hear him coming, and now you got death ahead of him. Because he's a murderer. And you got the governor of DeSantis, another asshole, excuse my French, but this MF is literally opening up his state and demanding that children go back to school, and they are spiking COVID-19
right.
off
exactly.
the chart.
Exactly. Let's get Wayne. Wayne, you wanted to say something? You wanted to jump in? There was,
I don't know. I was listening closely, but I didn't get the name of the reporter that broke all this information.
His name.
That you referred.
Yeah, I can give you his name. He goes by his MO is the legal schnauzer. Okay.
All right.
And if you go by that name, it'll pop up and it'll start to show you the cases for which this individual. It's pretty credible. And yes, we don't know all the details, but it sure makes sense why he continues to hide his relationships with Russia.
Well, there's something.
What I wanted to get to is that there was a reporter, God rest his soul, Wayne Barrett of the Village Voice, and Wayne died a few years ago. So obviously, this stuff now. I mean, Kay and I used to call him, periodically just to talk about Trump from time to time, because this guy had all sorts of stuff on his history going back 20, 30 years. I mean, and Wayne's been gone almost 10 years now. So the thing is, what you're coming out with has nothing to do with his niece, the book that she's come out. This is just something entirely different since then.
Yes.
There's some reason that I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to indicate that basically these stories, we know that there's more stuff to hit the fan that's even worse than it's already hit. We know this. It's a fact. This profile and his character analysis by his own niece is indicative of an individual who has mental problems. He's sick. He's not only indulging his own sickness with his narcissism, but there is a sickness that goes beyond that into his sexual proclivities. And we know for a fact he had an affair with the first hoe while still married to one of the wives and engaged in Aspen, Colorado while he was with his wife, supposedly on vacation, having an affair with the current first lady. Those are facts. I'm not making this stuff up. Okay?
Right.
So when
we begin to
hide these moral
people are going to hide it. But so this is the Legal Schnauzer, which is a website, legalschnauzer.com, and this is this guy's website that you're getting this information from, and he's been doing this research and this work for all these years, found this stuff out.
Now, whether you're listening to us and you believe that stuff or whatever, you can go to the website and see. And we all know, especially now with the recent past 24 hours of people's Twitter's accounts being hacked, those of you got Twitter, you might want to rethink it. Certainly with those most powerful, some of the most powerful people in the world's sites getting hacked. But, and you can say that, you might want to say this fake news or whatever, but think about what we've seen so far, right?
Yeah,
I mean, in Trump's history, we've seen the history of the beauty pageants when they had the junior Miss pageant or whatever, when he would roll in there backstage while the young girls were getting dressed. You know, this not like a grown-up beauty pageant where women are at least in their 20s. These were the junior Miss America types where the women are going to be in their teens. And that was a fact that already came out, that he would just roll backstage while in the dressing room, Mary, whether they were dressed or not. And so, you know, you can plug that in and say, you know that to be a fact. We know that he lies to be a fact. I know when I looked at those pictures of him and his daughter, it creeped me out. That was a fact. When I saw him be interviewed on The View and they asked him what he had in common with his daughter, anything, and he said probably sex, that was really creepy. So these are all facts that if you're listening, you want to make issue, those are things that you can plug in on your own, whether you believe this or not. But certainly ask yourself, does it track? And I feel my little details about getting insulted about him supporting a Confederate flag and saying that was freedom of speech and more white people were killed by police than black people, I thought my little facts were good enough. But compared to what you got, that stuff is small potatoes. Right. But let's move on to let's move on to you know, your boy. Like, you started jumping on it. It's these governors in these states that seem to have as is the case with all the rest of these people in the Republican Party that are going along with it. Like I talked about Texas, particularly the lieutenant governor, but the governor is the one making the choices. Arizona. And Georgia, and of course Florida, but to come out and say, I'm going to talk about Brian Kemp, because let's focus on him for a minute, because that goes in what you're saying with the mayors, right? To come out and say, when your mayors in your municipalities are saying, well, I'm going to mandate in my community that everybody wear masks, right? And to come out and supersede that and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, what happened to your guys' notion of kind of let the counties decide what's best for them, let the areas decide? But you're saying it on one hand. This is what I'm saying, and as we know, we all three of us know, they're full of shit. They talk out of both sides of the mouth. And clearly, to me, like I've been saying, there's a bigger objective. Kemp, he's going to leave it up. You know, these people clearly, their objective must be to get a certain segment of the population sick. Their objective clearly must be, what other conclusion can we draw? If you know the end game, the worst case scenario is that people are dying and you're going to expose people to that. We talked about empathy, and they talk about Big Chief Little Hands, I'm talking about Trump now, having no empathy. When a reporter asked him the other day, what about the schools opening and parents opening, he just said, he didn't even say, I understand, they should be relaxed. He just went and said, yeah, schools are going to be opened. There's no empathy in this guy. Like his niece says, and it made sense to me, why he doesn't have a problem opening the system. And it reminded me of when I very first heard of Donald Trump, watching a TV show when I was in my teens, when they were talking about gambling being legal in Jersey. And Trump was buying up a lot of property because he was building that casino. Yes. And there was, and you guys heard me say this before, there was houses that were being bought. And the story was millionaires buying houses from residents to build, you know, the casino. And it was a story about this old white lady, who refused to sell out, to sell the house. Yeah. And I'm thinking, why not, lady? You got a millionaire, multimillionaire buying your property, you get paid. Unless he was offering pennies on the dollar, which knowing the individual, we know he probably was. But when they interviewed the lady, she was like, well, I don't have anywhere to go. This is a house, you know, my kids, everybody. She didn't have anybody. She didn't have anywhere to go. And she wanted to stay in her home. And they showed the construction being built around her home. You know how they do if they have everything around that last house that they're trying to press you to move. That happened. I'm sure it's happened a lot in New York and everywhere else. And then they interviewed Donald Trump, this guy named Donald Trump. And he seemed like he seems today, with no empathy. And I just realized that. That's what it was. When I said he seemed indifferent before, it was that he had no empathy for this woman. and for someone holding on to their house. And this is an old white lady. So what does that tell you about everybody else? Especially all the Negroes.
Don't matter what color.
Go ahead, Wayne.
I said it doesn't matter what color, man. Donald's about Donald. You know.
Exactly.
He's an equal opportunity offender. You know, it doesn't, you know, he is a racist. There's no question about that. But, you know, apart from that, it's what his agenda is about, which is far more destructive than anything else, you know, and I do remember that. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, he will do anything to stay in office. And I don't really want to get sidetracked on him because we're talking about him so much, but this is someone was talking about, I think, him being all over the place, in the news too much, in people's lives too much, right? You know, you hear from your president, the president has the bully pulpit and all that, but this guy is in every aspect, and also because of his incompetence to do this job, his arrogance and just batshit craziness about the whole white supremacy racist thing with all the Republicans, that's where they are. I don't give a shit if you say you're Republican, you're not racist, you support racist programs, you're racist, all right? If you're carrying the ammunition for the Confederate Party, you're supportive of the Confederate flag. I'm not trying to hear none of that. You can't split it and have it both ways. Either you're racist or you're not.
There's an interesting story. And this really goes back to something. I was reading this article this morning that, you see, we take history out of context. But when I read this article, this was dated October 19th, 1796.
Those who wish to twist history take it out of context, and then they represent it back to those who don't know it.
The article that I'm reading indicates that Alexander Hamilton accused Thomas Jefferson of having an affair with his slave, creating a 200-year-old controversy. This article was written by Alexander Hamilton, October 19th, 1796. So we're not talking about a situation in which we outed the future president of the United States as he was given the nomenclature of having written the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence.
It was already out there.
Even Alexander Hamilton was accusing Jefferson of having an affair when he was running, as you may recall, it was a campaign between the Federalist Jefferson, the Federalist Vice President John Adams, and Hamilton wrote 25 essays attacking Jefferson. So where is this notion of the truth in history? See, we're talking about tearing down statues. We got to go back and understand. And I asked this question specifically last week because knowing George Washington had no children by Martha, he had two that came to his household by way of her previous marriage. He had no children, and I've asked this question 1,000 times to 1,000 different people.
How come so many motherfuckers walk around named Washington?
There are no white Washingtons. Every Washington I know is a black person.
Hold on, Big Looting Denzel.
Come on, yo.
Hold on, Big. You said the Hmong didn't have no children. So how come there's so many more people walking around with the last name Washington? Did he have any brothers? Did he have any brothers? Maybe he had a brother.
He had no other siblings. His name died.
This country is full of you know what, man. And also too, so everybody understands, the actual history on Alexander Hamilton is way different than the Broadway show. He engaged in helping his father-in-law Schuyler to buy and trade slaves. So let's not really get it all that twisted. It's a nice musical, songs are snappy. I like it. But
Eric, I hate to interrupt, but I mean the bottom line is Hamilton himself is a product of a biracial coming together. You know.
Yes.
So I mean the deal is, we've had our first black president as far as my father would be concerned, God rest him. You know, I mean the deal is that Hamilton was given birth in the Caribbean and he came here and they don't talk about it a great deal, and he was among those, if Jim Crow was around, that would have been able to pass. But the bottom line is, you know, they promote what they think is important, and they keep under the rug what they feel that, you know, history will wipe away. And I sure hope with social media today that there is nothing removed about Donald J. Trump's history on this planet. People need
right.
to be reminded thousands of years from now how despicable and how disgusting he was. And if half the things that are about to come out were Byron's side of the truth, you know, and it should be exposed. You know, there's no reason
Absolutely.
Why this man should have another term.
And exactly. and just so everybody knows that might be listening to us, Wayne Gilman worked with my mother at WLIB back in the 80s and 90s and are very familiar with the actions of Donald Trump, particularly as it pertains to the trial of the exonerated five. And those of you that might be listening across the country, when they railroaded those young men, it was, and everybody thought, even some of us black people thought that they did that crime until the facts came out, that Donald Trump took out a full-page ad in the New York Times basically calling for them receiving capital punishment, meaning death. And still to this day, after all these years, it's been clearly proven that the people that railroaded them were criminals themselves.
That's right.
Donald Trump refuses to apologize, refuses to even accept that he might have been hoodwinked. We won't even, let's go along and give him the benefit of the doubt, which I'm not apt to do for this dude, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say he was sucked in by those criminal prosecutors and cops that made up that information. Let's say. But still,
and
now
under
that the facts come
under
out.
It was under the direction, as you didn't go all the way with this, Eric, but let's call the other name that helped to end David Dinkins' mayoral bid. Rudolph Giuliani. I'm telling you all because y'all need to know the history, the linkage between the two. And at that time, that when he took out that full-page ad, as Wayne said, some of us blacks, some of us who were following along, didn't believe it, bought into the full-page ad asking for the death penalty and destroyed David Dinkins' mayoral bid for re-election.
Absolutely.
Well,
Rudy
Dog.
Wayne can speak.
Huh?
Go ahead, Wayne.
I was just going to say, Rudolph Giuliani's history is just as bad as Donald Trump.
That's right.
Will never forget. I'm certain your mother, if she were here, she would attest to this. The time that he brought, this is before Giuliani became mayor, he was so disgusted that a black man would hold the office at City Hall and sleep in Gracie Mansion. You know, that he got 5,000 of the NYPD who were off duty at the time to come rally at City Hall, you know, because he didn't like the idea of the way the mayor was criticizing the very same things that are going on right now with the NYPD.
Yeah.
It was even far worse back then. Had it not been for George Floyd putting a spotlight on what's going on nationally, you know, it's getting a completely different spin. But the bottom line is this culture within the department has existed for years since its inception. And it's you mentioned Central Park. You know, I attended a couple of years ago one of Reverend Al's rallies, and he had one of the five who were accused falsely. And it brings you to tears to hear his oratory about what time had been spent in prison knowing full well he was not guilty. And this man, even after they were exonerated, had the nerve to come back before he became president and had criticism for the city administration for wanting to cough up $40 million for these people to get their lives straight. Like that, you know, my thing is the reason why this city is so broke at times is because of cases like this. It's to stop the frisk nonsense that Giuliani employed, you know, back then, and could care less about what the impact was. And to a lesser extent, Michael Bloomberg was caught up in that until he got a true reading of what was going on. And I even questioned that to a certain extent. And I don't want to get off track because there's so many problems going on here in New York now that you know, we could equate with what's going on nationally. That's a whole other show by itself, you know.
Absolutely. And let
but
me just jump
line
in here,
is
Wayne.
That I'm sorry.
No, finish up. I just wanted to tail off on what you
no,
were saying.
No, I was just
going to
say
up.
That, I mean, Donald Trump needs to be exposed for who he is. I feel Byron has channeled the life and times of Wayne Barrett here because there's so much that's being unearthed now that I was not even aware of. And I was anxious not to say I want to put money in a Trump's pocketbook, but the bottom line is I was curious to see what – I would go to the library to get the book that Denise has just come out
with
this week.
Well, I would buy Denise. I would support her efforts because apparently they did her kind of wrong too, right? The family kind of
yeah.
I think you said it maybe kind of screwed her out of her inheritance. Let me just say that people listening
who
listen to the show know that Wayne Gilman was covering a lot of these stories back then. My former partner, my film company partner, Butch Robinson, was a cameraman for ABC Local in New York, who would be first on the scene a lot to tell me what was really going on, like Wayne and like my mother. People were in the press and Anna Phillips that really knew what was happening and finding out the details. And so my partner Butch says when he was covering the trial that they knew that they were railroading those kids. They wouldn't come out the front of the courthouse to be interviewed. They tried to avoid the press, leaving out the back so the press got hip and would wait around the back door. And many they didn't even stop to talk to them. You know how they try to get a little shout-out for a second, talk to reporters, try to talk to public. None of them would stop. The few that did, they would not look people in the eye when they were saying it. And that was the prevalent, the overall thing my partner said. None of them would look us in the eye because they knew what they were doing was wrong. And as far as Giuliani, that was the renegotiating of the police union contract, Wayne, you're talking about, when they marched down there and rallied down there to City Hall. And Giuliani was out there, gave a really kind of fired up incendiary speech, because all of us know that we're living in the time that, he was dogging Dave Dinkins ever since Dave beat him so much, because a lot of people don't know that Giuliani used to be a Democrat. And it was because the brother beat him that he became a Republican, even though he probably always had those kind of inclinations, clearly, if you know his history. And the fact that he was out there kind of revving up their cops. And my boy Butch, who was covering that, said that some of those cops, as we know now, we're not surprised, were out there calling the mayor of New York the N-word. So, everybody that might want to listen and doubt what we're saying, we're telling you firsthand, people that
were
there.
Giving facts.
And that's what I'm saying,
lie.
Eric. I mean, not to cut you off again, but the bottom line is, it's one thing about the police contract, but there was a not-so-subtle agenda with Giuliani. He wanted to make sure that, people in New York knew, because Dinkins was able to get overwhelming support and was able to garner the support of the largest ethnic community to make this thing whole that he could carry the city, and that was the Jewish community back then when he was elected. I mean, obviously with the support of the black community. But the bottom line is that Rudolph Giuliani, whose history, his childhood, there's a lot of mafia stuff attributable to his family's history that needs to be exposed also. It's not in many ways there's a parallel between Rudolph Giuliani's childhood and that of Donald Trump. Maybe impoverished in one way, but the deal is they dealt with people who were not considered worthy, And that's the point. So, I mean, I understood it was about the police contract at that time, but there was an agenda. He wanted to make sure, same thing that your mother used to get criticized for by the late Bob Grant, they would refer to him as the men's room attendant, David Dinkins, and your mom used to have to come on and retaliate about stuff like that. Again, I'm going off track here, but there's a common thread, there's a commonality here. And that's the issue. Everything needs to be tied together when explained.
Right, well, exactly.
Dwayne, you say something really the common thread. The playbook that these Democrats and Republicans who have been trying to circumvent the Constitution and the rule of law, the playbook they use is the same playbook. There's no difference. Mm. And called Republican or Democrat doesn't make a difference. That's why I say if you go back and look at the history, that's why that in story about Thomas Jefferson and Hamilton resonates, because we've been saying this for 400-plus years in this country. We haven't told. We're the most honest group of racial people on the planet. Yeah, we got some bad apples out there, but you ask us to toe the line. You ask us to pledge allegiance. You ask us to fight in your wars. You ask us to nurse your babies. You ask us to do everything that possibly could be asked of any human being that's in service to you. And all we ask for is the right to vote, freedom. And
that's
for
the right to matter.
That's right. Exactly. The right to matter. And it's written in history. We're not giving you altered history. We're giving you the facts that you didn't learn in school. And you're supposed to
that's
know
right.
this stuff. And you can't basically make intelligent, intellectual decisions if you are lacking in facts. So you're given misinformation to keep perpetuating the lie. Oh, yeah, Sally Hemings was his mistress. Lie. She
right.
bore six of his children, starting at 14 years old. What man engages a young woman at 14 and then has six kids from her, and you consider that to be a mistress?
It depends on who's telling the story. It's just like, it reminds me of Bill Barr's statement in that 60 Minutes interview, and when he kind of chuckled and revealed who he really was when he said history is written by the winners, right? That old phrase that we all know. But to hear an actual attorney general, a representative of the country, particularly when they're being accused of doing just something like that or something that leads to that, to say that, you know, it's like, let's do it in plain sight. Let's let everybody see it, so they know we're serious. Let's call people's attention to this attempt to discredit Dr. Fauci. We've got about another 13 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting that when you have people that none of them are even remotely related to, I don't know whether Trump has had any medical training or whether Peter Navarro has had any medical training or has some medical books lying around the house. But for these individuals, particularly Navarro and Trump even, and on all the rest of them, to suggest that the guy that's been holding it down in terms of viruses and pandemics since the AIDS virus is somehow wrong on everything he said, and try to discredit this dude for trying to keep everybody healthy is bizarre. But it's part of the bizarreness, because you can tell they're only speaking to a certain segment of the population. And I also want to that they want to collect all the COVID-19 information, stop it from going to the CDC, and send it right to the White House. What does that tell you? That tells you that they're going to misrepresent the information, present other stuff. That's what that tells you, right?
Exactly.
And so
like,
we got to watch out
like
for that. You guys want to go ahead, Byron?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, it's just like the economic report. Do you really believe Mnuchin and the Secretary of Treasury? Another 1.3 million people are unemployed this week. We're up over 50 million. We got, you know, 50 million unemployed Americans, people. And then you want to doubt Dr. Fauci, who is your point man for giving you the basic facts you need to know about whether your children should be going back to school in 2 weeks in Florida, versus an individual who the Washington Post, as of yesterday, has said since he has taken office, has been found to lie to America over 20,000 times. What more information do you need? Who lies 20,000 times in 3 years, Eric Wayne? Come on.
You're right there.
This is documented evidence.
The one thing that really boils over here with me is the fact that you mentioned the business with the unemployment figures, and even, you know, the talking heads on all sides keep citing how Trump's ability to really promote the economy as being as the one area that he's getting support. I don't understand that, and I don't understand how they quibble about giving all these unemployed people an extra $600 a week, you know, exactly. for fearing that it's easier for them to sit at home when there aren't any jobs out there, whether they have $600 or not, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, and Wayne, I remember being unemployed, and I wish I had an extra $600 just to put food on the table, you know.
But
they just gave a $1 trillion tax
worse.
Cut. They gave it. I'm telling you
that too.
Because if you look at the stock market over the last 5 weeks, and I guarantee you just look at what happens on late Wednesday to Friday. All the gains that they made at the top of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by late Wednesday, you see
they
the market
done, yeah.
trending downward.
Mm-hmm.
Thursdays and Fridays, over the last 5-6 weeks, the market has lost every gain that it's made during the week, which tells me if you're losing 1.3 million jobs weekly, you cannot manage to hold your stock market to toe the line on their so-called Ponzi scheme that they run to the same kind of numbers Thursday, Friday, every week? Come on.
Yeah.
We know you're cooking the books. There's no way you can manage this
question.
Kind of economy with those numbers piling up, 3 million people infected, 50 million people unemployed, 60% of your service jobs are in the United States are part-time employee jobs. So the jobs that you're creating are not full-time jobs. You got
to
freeze them.
And they're job people going back to work. And also, too, and you guys have heard me complain about the Democratic Party sometimes being the punk-ass. We act like punk-ass Democrats because they did not turn the economy around. It was Barack Obama, okay?
Thank
Even though it was minimal growth. It was going downhill. It was negative growth with the last Republican left office. And they, well, anyway, they did what they did to turn the economy around, and they called it something else that'll go down in history as something else, but that's okay. Let's just talk about the economy. They drove it all the way to the ground, underground. The brother comes in, gets it kind of on a working order again, starts building up, and then this clown comes in, is going to take credit for an economy, building an economy that you – what are you talking about? How are you going to take credit for building something that wasn't there? At least you had a level playing field
lives.
To start building stuff. You know? What are you saying, Byron?
When you tell 20,000 lies, your lie is the biggest lie is the economy. Okay?
Right.
And that's a fact.
But I'm saying our side. Our side needs to
–
this is the problem. Our side does not speak up 24 hours a day, assign someone to handle every single subject that these guys are trying to make a point and hammer him on it loud and clear. And this is my problem. This is my problem when Barack Obama was there about some of the things that his administration were doing that they were not promoting enough. We got to be aggressive,
that's
man.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about. These guys have 30-year plans. We have a 7-year plan. That's the problem. And also, you know what the problem is? That we got some spies in the Democratic Party too, right?
Of course we do.
We might have
people
that like that old-timey style of America. There might be some latent Dixiecrats up in the Democratic Party, if you know what I'm saying, without really trying to say it. So they ain't really that down for the progress that they claim to be down with.
Now get this. We're sad that Jeff Sessions lost. Tommy Tuberville, he ain't the answer either. That's why they ran his ass up out of Auburn University as coach, because he had run into some of the same racial issues that currently strike Alabama all up and down, up east to west, north to south in Alabama. And of course, check this out. You know who introduced Steve Miller to the Obama administration?
Oh,
this
yeah.
Blow your mind.
To the Trump administration.
Right.
To the Trump administration. Jeff Sessions brought Steve Miller to him. That should tell you something.
That came out the other day. And it's probably old news, but you're right.
It's old news, but it needs to be repeated so people can understand.
That's right.
This is what we're dealing with. It's not that this is an anomaly and all of a sudden they became racist. These are the same racist MFs that were running, ruining Alabama from the beginning. Jeff Sessions is as much a Dixiecrat or a Republicancrat as
a Klansman.
As a Klansman.
Yeah.
Exactly.
People
Nobody,
forget his
do you think Coretta Scott lied when she came to Congress and told them that Jeff Sessions was evil? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
That's history. That's,
that
in,
little,
the book.
That
that's
little...
in the book.
That's right. That's right. People want to act like these guys, him, they're all, I mean, you know Sessions is a Klansman. It was a way of life for them back there, as old as he was. Half them guys down there, they got their cards.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Yep.
Ain't nobody falling for that stuff. Kemp, it's clear he was down to steal the election. He trying to get
That's
people
right.
killed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you know, it's like you said, we gotta pay attention to the history. That's what I'm talking about, the when these new generations, like when we came down, this is the charge from my generation now that grew up watching those old films the first time they were on. I'm old enough to have watched those documentaries of the kids getting hit with the fire hoses and the dogs the first time it came out. And now, here I find myself in that very position or in that very situation in the United States of America. So now, this generation that comes along that we can advise and that we can, it's time to put out and do whatever we need to do to support them. But you know what? We can be more strategic now because guess what? Our fathers and mothers fought that fight. And even though we're still fighting it, there's stuff that we learned. So when we can go into this warfare and we go into this battle, we're a little bit smarter. And we know we can be a little bit more cunning in terms of what we need to do to gain our freedom regardless.
Exactly.
I'm down with the NFAC, man, to be honest with you. So,
I am too.
And if you don't know what that means, then you don't need to know. Just know we're down with the NFAC. And they're black men like us. When you see us marching, it ain't going to be the protest. Trust and believe.
Well, I'm with the National African American Rifle Owners Association. That's
gun owners, right.
That's the latest group I want to be a part of, you know.
All right. Well, the acronym is a lot stronger. We can't say those words.
I hear you.
Yeah, and if you look up the two organizations.
They go by that name now. They're not shying away from it.
But we got 3 minutes, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the surge in African-American gun ownership, the National African-American Association of Gun Owners, and there was another one. There's the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, and there's a number now the NFAC is a militia, you know.
Yes.
But we need to, I mean, and there's been a resurgence of a big increase in black people getting their guns, learning how to use them. You know, and talking about defending themselves, right?
Yes, and it's right to do so because our Constitution, First Amendment, Second Amendment, guarantees us those rights. It doesn't say by color. It just says you have the right to overthrow the oppression. You have the right to have an open conversation without being jailed for your comments.
And I want to give a shout out to the NRA for at least giving us the incentive to go out and do that for ourselves.
Yeah. You know, but we still have to acknowledge it has been part of each African American community to defend itself. You go back to Tulsa, you go back to Rosewood, you go back to every one of those cities that white folks destroyed. The men and women, African-American community, had weapons to defend themselves, and they did it valiantly. They were killed.
Exactly.
But they stood up. They fought back. So it ain't nothing new, people. Okay?
Yeah, we need to get it twisted. I mean, we got the Deacons of Defense back in the Civil Rights days. Them brothers weren't messing around. So, you know, as we go out, we need to really start to think about a lot of that as it affects where we want to be within the next 20, 30 years and how we're going to deal with a lot of these people that think they're going to intimidate us and oppress us. That's it. You gentlemen want to leave your give the people your sign-off there? Go ahead, Brother Wayne.
All I want to say, man, we got to come out and vote. You know, the Republican Party's registration, for some reason, has been spiking. We need to come out and vote in November. Get those applications in. There's no excuse.
Yes, sir. Right. There it is. Thank you, Wayne Gilman. We'll talk to you again later, my brother. Thanks for talking to you. Bye.
All right.
Give the people your send off.
Peace and love always, and never forget, you have the authority and the power. You are not a minority. You represent the majority of this country. Now start acting like it and use your power. Vote. Vote to make change happen. Vote to protect your communities.
There it is. Brother Byron Saunders. We'll talk to you again, my brother.
Sure.
This has been K Sun and Friends. I'm Citizen Payne, also known as K Sun. Those are my friends. My brothers, Byron Saunders, Wayne Gilman. We had to do a special episode. We're going to be doing episodes a lot more often so we can stay informed and stay on watch and stay on point, as they said. We'll talk to you soon. It's fine,